He is Tim Benz, Breakfast with Benz from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Follow him on Twitter at Tim Benz, PGH. Tim Benz, PGH. Tim, thanks for coming on, man. Appreciate it.
Yeah, no sweat. Trib Live, actually, not PG.
Oh, Trib Live. Got you. I'm sorry about that. Okay, so let me... I want to start off first with the Pirates and how this fan base is dealing with what's currently going on. Because from a Brewers fan perspective... Now, you could say we've been spoiled. Small market, have been, you know, in the playoffs relatively consistently, I guess, for the last 10 or 15 years. Haven't been able to get to a World Series or anything like that. Keep getting booted out in the first round, but relatively successful. You all have had your struggles, and now you've got an absolute stud in Paul Skenes, and these fools on TV are trying to get him traded out of Pittsburgh right away after a year. I can't imagine what the fan base is like and what it's going through at this point.
Yeah, I think there's, you know, a lot there to unpack. I guess the Skenes angle is the easiest thing to approach first, and yet no one likes to talk about the prospect of what will be, but it does feel like he's on the most expensive internship in all of American history. You know, like, this is, he's a first round pick. He got a huge signing bonus, and everybody feels like this is his warm up act to wherever he goes next. It feels very similar to what the Gerrit Cole situation was, only that Skenes is delivering his best this early. You know, actually, you could look back and say maybe Cole did some of that too as a Pirate and then got better once he left. But it does feel like already it'll be a fait accompli. It's a matter of when he leaves, not if. It's a matter of how many years into arbitration, if he even gets there before he goes. I don't think it'll be this year. I think that was a little alarmist, but I know where it comes from. And the logic is, if he's not going to be there, the quicker you get rid of him, the more you're going to get back in return. But I think there's a ceiling for that. And if he's as good as we all think he's going to be, he'll be worth an incredible haul by the time he gets to his first arbitration or whenever it is they decide to trade him after, like, you know, 4 years, 5 years here, as was the case with Gerrit Cole. So I still think he'll command a ridiculous sum from whoever wants to get him if the Pirates do hold on to him for a few more years, provided his arm stays in good shape, and so far has.
The owner of the Milwaukee Brewers said earlier this year that drew the wrath of me and many Brewers fans when talking about payroll and salary and all of that, pretty much was from the aspect of, hey, look, my job is to provide a summer of fun and entertainment for the fans, and that's what we've been able to do each and every year. And the fans absolutely lost their mind and were like, no, your job is to provide us a World Series champion, or at least die trying to get a World Series champion at the end of the day. What does the Pirates owner Bob Nutting say to fans as far as what he's trying to get accomplished?
Well, it's funny, when you started saying that, my mind wandered to what the owner across the parking lot has been saying whenever it's football season. You know, like this year, when there's great criticism for the Steelers for yet again being over 500 in the playoffs, but failing to win a playoff game for the eighth year in a row and the 12th time in the last 14 seasons, the response, the serve and volley between the fans and the owner sounded very similar to what you just described. You know, there are lots of complaints about the rut the Steelers are in. And at one point, Art Rooney kind of looked at one of the reporters that was asking questions and said to her, you know, we've done some winning around here. Well, yeah, in 2008, you know, if you want to constitute playoff wins, there haven't been too many of those since they lost to the Packers in the Super Bowl. Now, as far as what Nutting says, he just spins the same tales that he's always spun, which is, you know, we're moving in the right direction. We have faith in the people that are in the baseball offices. We know it's time to start winning. And it's just, it's political BS at this point. I mean, like, he'll stare you in the face and you know he's lying to you and he knows he's lying to you. And you just sort of, if you want a good night at the ballpark once or twice a year, you go. Maybe when Skenes is pitching, and that's about it. He can try to convince people, but no one, let me rephrase that. Some people may still allow themselves to be convinced just because they want to be. Anyone who is the least bit of a critical thinker never will be.
Man, I can't. I listen, I'm old enough, you know, I'm coming up on 50 next year. So I've lived through the Bud Selig era When the Brewers went to the World Series in 82, I was six. I don't remember much of that at all. Got old newspapers and stuff that my aunt saved for me, so I've got that. They got the Just a Bit Outside Brewers documentary now, which is amazing if you've never seen it, on that 82 Brewers team with all the personalities and all of that, and that's great. But 26 years of not making the playoffs for the Brewers, 11 straight years of not even being 500 for the Brewers, and then they finally make the playoffs, they get Sabathia, and they turn it around. And all of that happened mainly because when Wendy Zegers-Prier was in charge, she hired Doug Melvin. And then when Mark Attanasio took over as owner, he kept Doug Melvin. They built a farm system. They got themselves back in position. They had a great marketing guy and still doing, Rick Schlesinger, president of business operations here, that came up with all the bobbleheads and everything else and made it a goal of sending buses literally to local colleges and busing in college kids to these games to make it easier for them to get to games, and kind of built it from there. But along the way, those guys in the farm system had to do winning of some sort with Braun and Fielder and those guys. I mean, from your perspective, is there enough on the farm to get excited about? We're like, okay, when this wave gets here, we're going to have 4 or 5 years before we lose a lot of these guys, but we'll be able to win and sustain something maybe.
No, because there's not enough bats in the system. You know, what they do have, and in a weird way, it's a bitter irony because it's the hardest thing to find, is they do have good young starting pitching, not just Skeens, but, you know, Bubba Chandler is one of the best prospects in baseball, though he's kind of been a little wayward here of late as he's stalled in AAA. You know, Jared Jones, before his arm injury, was somebody that was really blossoming. Mitch Keller, there's no way he should only have one win in the season. He's not been great, but he's been better than that. I mean, like, they've got other intriguing arms like Braxton Ashcraft, who pitched yesterday. They've got guys who are intriguing and you can see be a good rotation for quite a while. And that's something that most teams covet. They just don't have any bats. Connor Griffin, I guess the former first round pick, who's in what, high A now. He might be something, but beyond him, it's Tamar Johnson, who's yet another middle infielder. And what will he do when he comes up? There's not a lot of promise with the bats, and you know, you should be able to find those in free agency if you're willing to spend at all, but they have not shown any interest in trying to have a foundation of offensive support for these pitchers. And that's really what drove people crazy this offseason, the utter inactivity while they've got the golden goose, and they're not willing to build around it. And that's really made people mad.
Tim Benz, Breakfast with Benz, also writes for, of course, Trib Live. Follow him on Twitter at Tim Benz, PGH. I switch gears since you are a columnist and talk about all things Pittsburgh. I want to dive into the Steelers thing that you brought up. And Aaron Rodgers, I pray for you, pray for everybody else that has to cover this dude. We lived through all of it, him being on McAfee and everything that goes along with it. What was the initial reaction from the Steelers fan base?
Well, the Steelers fan base largely was not on board with this. Of course, once he finally signed and reported, everybody's acting like they've wanted it the whole time. but that's just typical of a fan base that, you know, every year we get Latrobe flu around here. Whenever it looks like they're heading out to St. Vincent for training camp, whatever bitterness extended from the previous year's playoff failure and what they didn't like about the offseason tends to go out the window. You know, we talked ourselves into Russell Wilson being an answer. We talked ourselves into Justin Fields being an answer. We were ready to talk ourselves into Mason Rudolph being the answer for his second time around. We talked ourselves into Mitch Trubisky being the answer. I mean, it's just it's what we've done ever since Ben Roethlisberger retired. It's just part of being a fan around here. And a lot of that's handed down from what we saw before Ben, when we kept talking ourselves into Cordell's the guy, or maybe Tom Zach can get us through.
Goodness.
Maybe they really did find something in Tommy Maddox.
You know, there,
like,
you go.
Maybe we just do this so much it's out of habit. But I think you are starting to see the, if it's acceptance, it's acceptance. If it's blind fandom, it's blind fandom. But the angst and anger towards the Steelers for letting Rodgers play him for as much as they did during the offseason, in terms of when does he want to report, when does he want to get here, as silly as the Steelers looked, it's all forgotten because maybe he's better than Russ, or maybe he's better than Fields. and maybe he's better than Trubisky. And if he can just get into the playoffs at 10-7, gosh darn it, maybe his arm is still live enough that he can be the quarterback who finally gets a win. Of course, we do overlook the fact that even when they've gotten into the playoffs, whenever they've scratched in, they've lost handily in just about every game they've played since Ben hurt his elbow, whenever they've been fortunate enough to even get in the first place. So I don't think that they are a 41-year-old Aaron Rodgers away from making a sustained playoff run. I'm sorry, I just can't talk myself into that.
Okay, well, I have one last one for you on the Steelers, and that is Mike Tomlin. You talked about go to the playoffs every year, lose. Go to the playoffs every year, lose. But he's one of the most successful coaches, you know, in the league. He's one of the probably the longest tenured coach in the league with the Steelers. He's going to be in the Hall of Fame, no question about that. Are people anxious about him still being the head coach, or are people fine with him remaining the head coach for as long as he wants to be the head coach?
They know that the latter is the case. They feel the former.
Oh.
You know, what you just outlined there, I mean, anxious isn't the word I'd use. Angry is. There's a lot of angry Steelers fans that Mike Tomlin seems to have carte blanche to be the coach here for however long he likes, because we have fallen into this web of mediocrity. And, you know, I'll say it to you because you brought it up. I mean, I'm not trying to challenge you too much here, but you know, it's sort of anybody who's outside of Pittsburgh just cavalierly or haphazardly says one of the best coaches in the NFL. He's never had a losing season, but does one of the best coaches in the NFL go 12 or 14 years without a playoff win?
That's true, but how many coaches could say they've been to the playoffs in that time frame that many times?
A lot more than you think. I mean, go through the AFC and see how many teams have a playoff win since the Steelers have had theirs.
No. I mean, appearance-wise, how many teams have had as many appearances as Tomlin in that same time frame?
Not as many. I mean, sure, not as many. But again, like, I don't know how many coaches get 14 cracks and get 2 years where they've won the playoffs, but won a game in the playoffs. I mean, 12 years of not winning a playoff game over a 14-year stretch, and an 8-year stretch without a playoff victory. I mean, we haven't seen that since 3 years before the Immaculate Reception around here.
Goodness.
So, you know, people are, and also you have to keep in mind that of that 14-year stretch, what was it, 9 of those years, Ben Roethlisberger was the quarterback. You had a Hall of Fame quarterback and you still couldn't get one. So it's a little bit more of a dubious record in the years since they lost to the Packers in Dallas than what would be suggested by a guy who goes 9-8 or 10 wins every year and gets to say he's never had a losing season. You know, there have been a couple of 2018, you go 7-2-1 and you don't get a playoff win because you choke down the stretch and you go 9-6-1 of the season, or even the year with Duck and Mason. Everybody's like, oh, he got to 8-8 with Duck and Mason. Well, that's pretty good. Well, they also lost the last 3 games, including on the road to the Jets. They turned the ball over 5 times in the red zone against the Bills,
and then
they lost the Ravens backups. You know, it's like there are extreme black marks along the way as to how these teams under Tomlin have failed to win a playoff game as frequently as they have. It's a lot more beneath the surface than what I think people outside of Pittsburgh understand. They just see, well, he gets to the playoffs quite often, and he's never had a losing season, so he's got to be a great coach. Well, there's a yeah, but to that. That's a heck of a lot deeper. That's second nature to folks here in Pittsburgh who have lived it, but maybe not outside of the Three Rivers.
That's good stuff. Tim Benz, Breakfast with Benz. And of course, follow him on Twitter at Tim Benz, PGH on Twitter. Tim, thanks so much for coming on, man. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.